This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams in for Kai Rizdal. You may have heard my story yesterday taking us back to the history of accounting in this economy and how it was used on slaveholding plantations in the South. Today, slightly more recent history, an example of how Black people were, and sometimes are, excluded from some jobs. This story starts at a park in Compton, just south of downtown L.A. It's got some grassy fields, a couple of baseball diamonds, no plaque, though, commemorating its part in Hollywood history. But maybe there ought to be. KCRW's David Weinberg picks it up from here.
At first, the men who gathered in Athens Park met after getting off work at their day jobs.
We would meet out there at the park in the evening to get dog. We'd doing jumping jacks, and we, with the help of a few people, learning how to throw punches.
That's Alex Brown. It wasn't long before people in the neighborhood started to wonder exactly what kind of fight he and his friends were training for.
At that time, you know, there was a lot of racial tension at that time. We actually had the police come by and set up outside of our area and chain them. We would begin to, you know, watch us.
But what the police were watching was a group of men training to become Hollywood stuntmen. Back in the early 60s, there was no such thing as a Black stuntman in Hollywood. The practice then was to do what was called a paint down. A white stuntman painted his body black to double a Black actor. All that changed in 1965 with the TV show I Spy. One of the lead actors was Bill Cosby, and he refused to let a white stuntman play his double. And that's how Calvin Brown became the first Black stuntman in Hollywood. But it was still hard for Black stuntmen to get training and break into the business. So the men who met in Athens Park formed their own group called the BSA, Black Stuntmen's Association.
Well, that's all we ever wanted was jobs, just to get an equal piece of the pie, a little sliver. So as we began to make inroads to the motion picture business, the other white stunt group was getting a little insulted at the fact we had begun to infringe onto their financial base.
Being a stuntman was very lucrative compared to what BSA members made at their day jobs. William J. Upton was the youngest BSA member. He was just 12 years old when he showed up at Athens Park.
My mother and father were working. They were making like $60, $65 a piece a week back in 1967.
And the salary for a stuntman?
Back then in 1967, a contract was $120 a day. And my mother said, what? $120 a day back in 1967? He said, boy, go over there and join that group.
Over the years, the BSA filed dozens of lawsuits in its fight for equality in the film industry, including a 1976 case that forced the major studios to abide by federal mandates against discriminatory hiring. And as the BSA grew, it broadened its mission to include gender equity for stunt performers. Today, the push is to bring women and people of color into the role of stunt coordinators because they are the ones with the hiring power.
Right now, we probably have a 0.5% of women who are coordinating.
In 1998, BSA member LaFay Baker became the first African-American woman stunt coordinator of a big-budget project, the TV movie Introducing Dorothy Dandridge, starring Halle Berry. She has since worked on projects where stunt coordinators didn't hire any women or people of color.
If I'm a stunt coordinator, I'm thinking about bringing a diverse group of people.
Today, most everyone in the BSA is retired. The work they used to do has been taken on by SAG-AFTRA, the union that represents stunt performers. As late as 2014, SAG-AFTRA investigated a paint-down that happened at Warner Brothers. The studio acknowledged the paint-down and said, quote, "The situation has been rectified and we regret the error." SAG-AFTRA is also investigating the practice of wigging. That's when a male stunt performer dresses as a woman to double female actors.
It never ends, you know, so the more we fight it, the better it'll be for other people. The ones that's coming behind us in this generation behind us, they got to keep going too.
Brown and the surviving members of the BSA are working behind the scenes to get some recognition for the doors they opened. Their next big goal is to raise the $50,000 they need to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. In Los Angeles, I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.